dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Channing Frye with us just moments ago. 92.3thefan.com is where you can find that interview. He was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's one of the hosts of the Road Tripping Podcast with he and Richard Jefferson. What'd you think of those words that he said about Jared Allen? He was definitely a little less, I'll say angry. He seemed a little less angry there. He was more just kind of seeing it out. But you can tell, man, from both in his pod and in this interview with us yesterday or today, Channing Frye is frustrated with Jared Allen.
He is, but I'm trying. He's not wrong about anything he said. And certainly we saw like the one-on-one matchups anytime Halliburton attacked him. But you know, I try to take a broader view of this. Jared Allen is your fourth best player. And at times this year,
fifth. Ty was ahead of him at most points.
I would have to say Ty was probably ahead of him for most of the year. Normally, your fourth or fifth best player playing poorly isn't the reason that you can't make it past the second round of the playoffs.
Owen.
Well, I agree with that. So that kind of changes what I was about to say. But I do think that Channing Frye sees a lot of himself in the role that Jared Allen takes on, right? They play the same position. We're both kind of more slender big men.
He's not a shooter.
And I think Channing feels like he was a more physical presence than what Jared Allen is.
Yeah, well,
he's
not wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not wrong. Jared does some things very, very well. In fact, it allows Evan Mobley to go out and defend guys sometimes on the wing. And creates a lot of their havoc defensively where teams will try to drive to the paint. Oh, no, Jared Allen's there. We're going to throw it out to the three-point line. Oh, my God, a pterodactyl is coming out with these long arms to try to block a shot. And it's creating chaos and confusion, and before you know it, they can't get a shot off.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all regular season. In the playoffs, obviously, everything kind of tightens up anyway. But as much as they might be a really good fit defensively at times, offensively, you know, Evan can shoot the three, can space things out a little bit, but his game is not there where you're going to have him just sit out there and take as many threes as he wants until they come out and guard him. He's still not there, right? He's not truly going to punish teams for not guarding him at the three-point line yet. And so what they need is another big man that can do some of the stuff you're talking about, that Channing could do, that Miles Turner, if you watched him last night, that he could do. Certainly we know Carl Anthony Towns, he wants to shoot it from 30 feet. You know, that's not the type of player Jared Allen is.
Well, if I go back to the fourth best player comment. Who's the second best player? Is it Evan?
This year, I think it was interchangeable for the first 3 months. I thought any given week you could say that was a Donovan week. That was a Darius week. Darius was clutch.
Hey, I know we're going to have Jim Orsarski on from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at 9:20. That might be a quick conversation then. Because if it's interchangeable, then I can give you an argument. Wait a minute. Just keep the core four. Because if it's gone from Darius is clear number two to now it's interchangeable with an Evan Mobley, if you're saying it's like, well, he'll definitely be the second best player, maybe interchangeable with the first best player next year. Like
the regular season doesn't matter anymore.
No, the regular season is
it didn't matter to some this year.
Honestly, you got to use it the right way, and none of us wanted to see it the right way because we were having so much fun during the regular season because they were all beat downs. You won 64 games. You know what this has to be next year is a tune-up. It has to be an 82-game tune-up. I don't give a damn about where they're seeded next year. We wanted the number one seed. We played with seedings before with 4 or 5. We played with seedings a little bit this year, but we wanted number one. I don't know if it matters. I really don't know. Like, yeah, I'd like to be in the top four, certainly, but I think it's much more important to have these guys ready for the postseason.
Well, how about what Channing said about one of the main differences between regular season, where all it is run to that 3-point line and shoot threes. And if you can't get that, then go inside for a layup. And if you can do that, then maybe kick it back out for a wide open three. That stuff's not available in the playoffs. To
dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The same extent. And he brought up the mid-range game. And I know, too, LeBron on his podcast recently with Steve Nash was talking about the return of the mid-range game. Who on the Cavs, when stuff gets really, really tough, who can create those looks around the mid-range? Well, one guy in particular we know, Donovan Mitchell. He's got every tool in his arsenal. Who's another guy who can come in when they run you off that three-point line that can still get to when it's needed? Which, as Channing said, it's more than zero.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't treated it like that in many years. We have thought with the Golden State Warriors, with the Daryl Morey Houston Rockets, it was just, those are bad shots. Mid-range game, bad shots. Maybe not so fast on that come playoff time, because sometimes those are the only shots available.
Here's Channing Frye.
I think it's a great thing. It shows you can win different ways. Like, Indiana does not play like New York, and Minnesota for sure does not play like OKC. But the fact that Minnesota can trade Karl Anthony Towns away and he be just as good as Julius Randle, who basically took all of last year off. I mean, it's amazing. Look at Indiana. Like, nobody would have thought Indiana would make it here again. Look what they built. Tyrese Halliburton is the most unsuspecting star in our league. He'll give you a game where he has 4 points and they win by 16, or he'll have 40 and make the game-winning shot at the end of the game over a defensive player of the year. And so, you know, and then the Knicks, you look at Brunson and what they've done of really just going all out for their starting unit and saying our five can beat any of your seven, and it's worked. It's about coaching. It's about energy. You have a star power, and you have physically dominant defensive and offensive players that are very skilled on all three levels.
So what you're trying to do is, if you can't make a move, which I think a lot of people want to make a move, but I don't know how capable it is. So I think right now the highest likelihood is that you keep this team intact for the most part. I think it then becomes something, Anthony, where can you diversify the game? Can you get these guys to trust each other? Because, boy, I mean, they will shoot the bleep out of it from long range. But there are nights that they were cold. And I would justify things and go, well, you know, so-and-so isn't going to be that hot every night against us, and we're not going to be that cold every night. Usually, you kind of go back to what you are. Cavs are a good three-point shooting team. The other team might not be as good. But if you have a team like Indiana, and I said that at the beginning of the series against Indiana, if you go back to a team like Indiana, okay, there's some diversification there. They can do other things, because I think that the team is talented. The Cavs are talented, but they are proving to everybody that there is a way to stop that talent. Whereas for other teams, they still have something else in their repertoire that they can work with that they're comfortable with, because I think it's about knocking people off where they're comfortable, where they get comfortable, and 82 games is a long time to get comfortable with something. And if you can knock them off that comfort, then you are going to have an advantage. But it's about being able to bounce back and answer that. And I think Evan Mobley can find a mid-range. Already has a mid-range game. I think that these other guys can certainly find a mid-range game. Like, I'm going to have to come to the terms here that a big move is still unlikely. So I got to look at what's best or what I can fix with this group right now. So I know we've been saying a lot of stuff about Darius and about Jared Allen especially. But there's some things that you might not be able to just change out right now. Or you might have to wait until February to do something like that. Rich and Avon, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning, Rich. We're doing well. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a great interview, by the way.
Thank you.
Real quick on Jared Allen. On Jared Allen, you guys made the comment he's the fourth or fifth best player on the team, so you can't blame him necessarily for the loss. I view Jared Allen, you got to look at him on the defensive side of the floor. After Evan, he's the second best player on this team. And most would say he's an elite rim protector. And he's a valuable player, but Jared didn't play up to his potential. A lot of times guys who Their personality off the floor is who they are on the floor. And it's hard to change that. That's just who he is. And doesn't make him a bad guy or not valuable or anything like that. But I just see Jarrett continuously really doesn't have the intensity when the Cavs need him most. So that's just my thoughts. Great interview. Keep up the good work.
Rich, thank you very much for the call. I think he has a desire. I think that he has a wanting, but is he able to burst through that? I'm not sure if he does. And right now, we only have a short amount of time to be able to prove something like that.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.